Welcome to Floating Leaf Tea Podcast. My name is Xiaowen.
And my name is Noah.
Hello, Noah.
Hello. And today we're going to be drinking a couple of Dongding teas.
I already cannot hide my excitement. I like Dongding. So our Dongding traditional A is back on the menu.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, this is like the fifth time that we've drank Dongding traditional A on the podcast. I think so.
Sorry, we are a little bit biased. I hope you guys don't get sick of Dongding. Mm-hmm. And
it's
if
impossible.
You guys get sick of Dongding, please come talk to me.
And we'll make you not sick of Dongding anymore.
So anyway, we are going to actually compare our previous batch of Dongding traditional A and the current batch of Dongding traditional A. And if I don't remember it wrong, the Mrs. Su farmer, sometimes it's kind of weird to just call her the farmer's wife, Mrs.
She's,
Su, because she
really
is
farmer.
Actually the farmer.
Yeah.
She produce, she take care of the fields and then produce and make pretty much all the teas. Mm. And then later we'll tell you what Mr. Su really makes.
So we should call Farmer Su and her husband, who makes all kinds of fruit concoctions.
Ah, here you go. Anyway, we'll have that short story, side story coming up because it's really fun. So I think she told me that these two batches of tea are actually exactly the same tea. Just the current one. She has a little bit more time. And then so she roasted a little bit deeper for me. So super excited with that kind of approach in a tea. And then they all know that I like my Dongding tea a little bit darker. So this is actually the way I like it.
And we got there in the evening. She said that she had been up since 3 a.m.
Something like
roasting
that.
Roasting tea.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad. Because I didn't, you know, call them to like a little bit earlier than that. to let them know that I was going up to Dongding to see them. So anyway, I just rinse both of the teas, and we are going to smell the last year's batch first. And these ears.
This most recent roasting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you hit it with hot water, it doesn't quite open up as quickly. You have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the general profile of the tea is much richer. It's very rich
but
and last, savory.
Last batch is already that. Oh, okay. I can smell the tea base. I can smell the rose. Because it had been here since...
Since April?
I don't even remember.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's been here since April. So it's been here a long time. It's had plenty of time to rest.
Mm. And then the new rose will require some time. But it's opened up really nicely. That's why I dare to put it on the website, because we actually already had the tea here a few weeks ago, and then we didn't list this tea until maybe like 3 days ago, two mm-hmm. days ago, because it right now it finally is opening up to a point that I feel that it's a good tea. Before it was too locked up, yeah. And so if you decide to buy this tea, you know, just enjoy watching while you drink it. Either in a daily basis or once a while, you are going to see it change. Yeah, this really fun about Dongding that I like about the quality is it actually changed quite a lot. And the tea is, it doesn't mean the tea is stale or anything. It just keep like either opening up more or show you a feature that you don't get to see last week. And I really like Dongding tea with this kind of surprise quality. So this, well, I'm brewing tea. We can have Noah talk about his experience on Dongding Mountain. It was his first trip.
It's the first time I've been to Dongding.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah.
I love Dongding. It's beautiful. It's an incredible place.
Mm-hmm.
Just the physical place is really special.
Yeah, the physical place.
Yeah.
I love going up there. I love that place, even though it's very small, but it feels really big.
Mm.
And it feels old somehow to me. And I just love the feeling about Dongding Mountain.
And just the way all the plants grow so vigorously up there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's everything is totally overgrown with all kinds of gigantic looking plants. And everything feels so alive. And yeah, I mean, just like a lot of big open space too. Because it's mountainous, and then you can kind of see across these big valleys, and it's just like so much wide open. Yeah, so much wide open space. It's beautiful. Mountain vistas. And then the farmer is my new best friend.
So for those of you that, some of you that actually know my stories on Dongding, I won't say that it's one of the most pleasant tea journey ever. because of Mr. Su. He's quite a personality, let me put it that way. I do consider him my early on in my tea journey, he was in a way one of my biggest teachers. Not necessarily teaching me about tea, just to be honest with you. but he asked me one sentence which I keep in my mind for many years. He asked me to challenge me, actually. Like, he said, "Miss Tai, when you drink a tea, do you know if it's a good tea?" And that sentence strike my head like a bell. I mean, not physically hit me, it's the sound. And it was really big. It was a very profound experience to me. And I always think about that question when I do tea. And I carry that on for many years. And I still keep it in my heart because I think it's really important. When anyone drink a tea, do we know if it's a good tea or a bad tea? I think it is very important to know where the tea is at. But anyway, as I mentioned earlier on, that he is quite a personality. So the experiences there on Dongding Mountain with him is not, I won't call it easy sometimes. And so when Noah went up there this past trip with me, I actually didn't know what is gonna happen. I didn't expect it to be easy. And somehow, I have to tell you, this is the easiest Dongding trip that I have ever had. Yeah.
He was in a good mood.
He was on a good mood. And I think Noah quickly learned how to talk his language. And maybe I should let him talk about the story.
Well, I just had a lot of fun with him because he's so... he's just a very interesting character, you know, and just hang out with him and he'll like say like, this is so natural and this thing is natural and things that you buy outside are not natural and this one is really healthy, and I'll just say, you know, this one's really healthy, I like this one, this is good. And then he'll say stuff like, he has like a few English phrases that I really like to repeat after he says them. He says, I couldn't tell what he's saying at first because he's speaking Taiwanese with Shoen, and then he would speak Mandarin with me, and then he would just whip out a phrase of some other language that I couldn't understand, and it sounded like a good eating, something like that, kind of like, and then I realized he's saying good eating. So then he would say good eating about the food that his wife prepared, and then I would just return to him, good eating. And
with thumbs up.
With thumbs up, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we just laugh and eat some food. And he would, like, put a bunch of stuff in my bowl. I just eat everything that he put in my bowl. Yeah, just really fun. He's super fun. So I was really happy. I wasn't expecting to make a friend up on Dongding. I was expecting it to be more difficult based on, you know, stories I've heard about this farmer. But, yeah, it was super fun. We had a good time. And I love his tea. I've been drinking his wife's tea also. I've been drinking their tea for a long time now, maybe 5 years or something like that. Mm. And I used to drink this tea every single day. I used to sit down in the morning before I came to the shop, or when I worked at a coffee shop also, I would sit down in the morning before I went to work and drink this tea and just practice with this tea. And it means a lot to me. So being able to meet those people that made this tea happen and then seeing the place that made this tea happen just made me feel really happy.
Mm.
So grateful to have a chance to connect with him.
Mm. So now let's come back to the comparison a little bit, and then you can go on to tell a second story. I love, we actually love, I personally really love telling stories. So when it comes to tea, and I think it indirectly and directly connect tea drinkers to the producers, farmers, etc. And for me, it's very fun and it's very important. So this I just pour out last roast, I guess, of this Dongding traditional egg. And it's you know, like a Dongding solid tea broth. The roast is still there and Dongding.
Yeah.
You know, but it feels since I only had a little bit, like keep in a bag, like maybe like half an ounce left in the bag, because we took it off from the website, and so I only had a half an ounce. And so right now the tea broth feel not as vibrant. Mm. Yeah.
But with that small amount of tea, it's almost impossible to...
to keep it, yeah, like super full and fresh in a way. And then so let's go on to the most recent roast, our new roast of Dongding traditional egg, just freshly baked from Dongding Mountain, to you, and see what it feels. Ooh, and I push it pretty hard, because when Mr. Su brews tea, I do have to tell you, I think many times he forget that he was brewing tea, because he also like to talk.
He
doesn't
know what he's saying.
So he would just keep talking, and many times I will have to like gently remind him and say, hey, do you think you want to would you like to decant the tea? And sometimes his wife will sit there with us, and she will tell him, say, it's time to decant the tea.
There was one time when he was one of the brews he was doing, when he was telling us that we're stupid for buying expensive tea, and that another person that goes up to Dongding buys cheaper tea and then re-roasts it for himself, and that's the smart thing to do. And then he just kept talking about that. Basically how dumb we are for buying his more expensive tea. And then he totally forgot that he's brewing the tea. And like, someone's like, oh, you forgot to brew the tea. He's like, my tea,
no problem. A good Dongding tea, you can brew in many ways.
Good drinking.
And then so he was just like, I know that when I ask him to gently remind him to decant the tea, that is going to be the next talking for quite a while. Like his tea can be brewed many different ways, long time, short time. And then he was sure in the, seriously, sometimes 2 minutes in a gaiwan with like quite a lot of leaves in there. And of course it's strong, but it's actually really drinkable. And so he was just look at me, he's like, you see? No problem. And then, which will bring up another subject, like why are we buying other teas? And those are fake and bad teas. It will destroy my health and blah, blah. And so that's where, you know, I think my Dongding experience is not as pleasant, because I do have to listen to some of the subjects that I don't necessarily talk about it during the tea session, let's put it that way. But he's actually really adorable. I think he just, you know, grew up on Dongding Mountain, and that's what he believes in. And they do eat really healthy, not because, you know, they shop at like organic stores that specialize in this and that. They pretty much have all the vegetables they eat grown on Dongding Mountain. And then he harvested, you know, fruits that I don't even know where he found those fruits sometimes.
It sounds like there's just fruit trees that other people planted and then they forgot about, and he just like knows where they all are and then picks them.
Yeah, and he they are this is one thing I think we should practice and should know. There are not wasteful people at all. They are absolutely not wasteful. I remember many years ago, he drove me around. He loved to drive people around and visit other, you know, tea farmers or his relatives and his colleagues and stuff. And one time I remember we were driving around and then he saw something on the side of the road, which is a fruit tree, and it's, what is those kind of fruit? Almost look like durian.
Jackfruit.
I think it was like some sort of jackfruit, and then the jackfruit, that jackfruit was kind of cracked open already because it fell on the ground, and then he just quickly stopped the car and then went over to the drop jackfruit and picked it up, and I can roughly see that there are ants inside, and then he just opened the trunk and put it in the trunk. And me, it's more like I pray that the ants don't just crawl over the car. And then he just told me, say, those are edible. I said, sure, I bet it is. And he said, we shouldn't waste food. I said, oh, okay.
And He's not afraid of ants at all.
No. And our meals there, you know, if like tonight, after the dinner, if we didn't finish some of the foods, for sure we'll see like those repeated dishes. Like, I mean, the Mrs. Su, she will pan fry the leftover food, again, heat it up, because I mean there's no microwave there, and then so she will just pan fry it, heat it up, and then we'll eat it for breakfast again. And so if you don't have that kind of habit, it's gonna be a little bit like rough, especially things that you probably not like eating.
Like ants. I definitely ate some ants.
But the thing is, it's also really wonderful to remind myself that we, you know, I am quite, you know, spoiled and wasteful. You know, some of the food is just like, I don't want to eat this. You know, and then they would just eat those foods again. And then with fruit, he is totally not wasteful. He just you know, go to some trees that just there are some fruit, and then so he will pick them, which come to a really interesting story that he loved to ferment those fruit that he picked.
It's like he makes a vinegar, like a sweetened vinegar syrup out of them. He just puts them in a big, when you walk into his house, there's like these, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 gallon jugs, big plastic jugs full of, if you look closely, you realize it's full of fruit and then their juice. And then a lot of mold going on the top. And I think there was probably like 10 or 15 in the first room. Small room too, maybe about as big as our shop. And then you go back in the next room and there's more. And then you go back into the way back room where Mrs. Sue does all the tea roasting. And there's probably like 50 of those things full of this fruit juice. So he must spend all of his time making this fruit concoction. So he's really proud of it. And every time we saw someone, like when the taxi driver drove us up to his house, we get out and he grabs a bottle of this fruit juice stuff and then a bag of dried fruit and hands it to the taxi driver and asks him to stay for dinner. And the taxi driver says, oh, and I have a bento box in my car. But he has like a bottle of this vinegar drink and then a bag of dried fruit from Dongding to eat. And then every time we saw someone, we passed someone on the road when he's driving us around, he stopped and he gave him a bottle of this fruit drink and a bag of dried fruit, which is, I think, really sweet.
Yeah.
And then I ended up drinking a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah, and I normally, I don't quite like to drink that much. So in actually many years, I just say, he says, say, do you want to drink some? And I just say, no, thank you. And then so he will mumble stuff to me. But in 2016, I remember 2016, I brought Jake and another tea friend, David, up there. And I was so thankful with these two gentlemen. They actually enjoy drinking them and they make Mr. Su really happy. And I saw that I got a luxury of sitting there and then liberally saying no. no, no, I don't want to drink that because he already quite preoccupied and being very happy with Mr. Jack and Mr. David to feed them all the concussions. And then this year I actually joined them and drink some, but I think it's a really bad habit that I say yes to one because you always just keep pouring me the next one and the next one.
Yeah, if you say you get to really draw a hard line if you want it to stop coming. I think I drank 15 different ones.
And it's very small. Yeah, really tiny just one few sips.
But it's also very sweet and very vinegary. So it's pretty intense to drink that many of them.
Yeah.
But it was still really fun for me. And then the very last one.
Oh, my goodness.
He wanted to mix it with Gaoliang, which is like
sorghum.
Taiwanese sorghum liquor.
Yeah. And so it's like maybe 57%.
Yeah, really, really strong. Like
fireball.
Cask strength. Yeah. Super strong stuff. White liquor, like moonshine. And then he just mixed them. He's like, oh, it's really good like this. And he was talking to me about how it's like the sorghum liquor is natural and the stuff is natural and it's all natural, so it's really healthy. And he drinks it every night when he's watching TV. So I thought, okay, I'll just have a little bit and that'll be like the end of my drinking this stuff and then I'll go to bed. And he pours me like...
Maybe four ounces?
Yeah, it was like a cup the size of like a, you know, like an average size guy wants. So maybe 120 milliliters of this stuff mixed with that really sweet fruity drink. And yeah, it was really intense. It was a lot of like moonshine level liquor.
Yeah.
And a lot of fruity drink. But it was still really fun. I just wasn't expecting to drink that much that night because it was kind of late. But anyway, it was super fun. Yeah.
And then before we left, he was about to send us away with one case of the brew, and I talked him down to it's really hard to carry on a train. We cannot bring that back to America. And he's like, well, tell them it's natural. I said, there's no label on this thing.
He kept saying it's not gonna explode the plane. He kept talking about it. It's not gonna destroy the plane. This thing is not gonna destroy a plane.
He just burst out laughing. He says, tell them it's not gonna explode the plane. I said, I am not gonna bring up that subject.
He thought it was really funny though, and he just kept saying it.
Oh my goodness. So overall, I feel like, and I'm really happy to see that he was in a better mood. And the journey was more smooth. And I simply love being on that plateau.
Yeah, it's really special.
Really beautiful place.
Anyway, can we talk about this tea?
Yeah, let's talk about the tea. You guys listen to like 20 minutes of story today. Yeah. And then that's it. End of the podcast. Thank you. See you next Monday. So infusion is the third infusion of the previous roast.
Mm.
So you see, it's a bit more, kind of more, it's not like close up, because I won't say that tea is close up.
It's actually more open than the new batch.
Yeah, but
the vibrancy
more,
isn't there.
The vibrancy is not there. I think it's actually...
Just because it's such a small amount of tea.
Yeah, I have like half an ounce put in a bag and not
like
vacuum seal.
A
and
couple
just like,
worth
and
like...
Yeah, zip it up a little bit. And so it's a bit stale.
Yeah.
And then let's try the more recent one, which we should probably focus on this tea anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't have the previous... roast for you to compare.
Anyway, to say a little bit of something about the last batch, and it's kind of the same thing that we said before, but it's a little bit lighter roast, so it feels a little bit more on the lighter fruit kind of side. Mm. It feels really nice.
And then, so let's come back to this more recent roast.
Yeah, and this one's richer and actually a little bit rounder feeling to me.
Yeah. Even though it's not 100% open up yet, it already got that roundness, that fullness of a Dongding. And that throw, that a big key feature of Dongding is already there. And salivation is really big, so it's a really fun tea.
I think what this really showed me is the power of roasting tea.
Because
the last one was a rushed roast,
yeah,
to be completely straightforward. We said it before, but
yeah,
the last one, not a bad roast, but it was rushed and it wasn't as deep as it could have been.
But with a good intention, yeah, though. Totally, so totally. When you guys drink the tea, you probably still feel very good. Yeah. She was just very worried that I don't have any dongding here. Yeah. And so she rushed the roast and just quickly sent it out in yeah. express mail.
Yeah. Expensive. But I actually thought it was perfect that it showed up in time for summer, because we got that tea in April. We got two teas in April. A stronger mm-hmm. one that was mm-hmm. roasted second, and this little bit less roasted one that was roasted first. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, this really doesn't feel roasted enough. We're going to let it sit. Mm-hmm. But by the time summer rolled around, we tried it again. Thought, oh, it's really,
it opened up.
Really nicely yeah. open now. Mm-hmm. And it's not as heavy, which mm-hmm. is really nice when it's warm out.
For summertime. Yeah. So and it worked out timing-wise, yeah. like a blessing to us.
Yeah.
And just work out with the weather, the timing super well. And this time, I mean, it's not as rushed. You just get up super early in the morning and then try to prepare the tea for me. But you can see that she is not, you know, like say, okay, let's roast this and quickly ship it out. Because I put the order and then we taste the tea with her and it was fantastic. And I was very grateful that she worked so hard for such a, in a way, for me, it's probably a very small order, but they put so much care to it. And it's just very good. So yeah, the power of tea roasting was yeah. exactly the same tea.
Yeah, this is the third time we've carried the same exact harvest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see how it can actually change a tea. So I think that's very exciting to learn tea roasting. And so probably some of you guys, we talked a little bit about it in maybe two episodes ago or three episodes ago, that our charcoal roast master, Mr. Zhang, officially accepted Noah.
I'm so excited.
to learn tea roasting. And until today, I have very mixed feelings on that one. because I'm so competitive, but I think it's going to be very good. He told me, he said, you guys have different qualities and you should use your qualities. So, but he never really clearly tell me what my quality is. So I hope underneath the current, you guys can hear how bitter I how bitter I actually am.
But when he told me, I was almost too excited to really know what to say. But I can't wait to go back and learn from him.
Mm. Yeah, so we are very excited. I mean, besides our house oolong tea here, hopefully in the near future, which will be the next few years, because it takes at least a few years to learn. But when we are capable to have enough resource, then we are going to send Noah in there maybe for 1 month at a time. And so he can pick up a little bit here and there and just, you know, have fun and to play around with it. He already started to play in a shop.
Yeah, I'm not every morning, but every couple of days I try to roast just with our little electric roaster just to practice and see mm-hmm. the way tea changes over the roasting process. But I'm really excited to go there and learn how to do it with charcoal.
Mm. And this at least three or fourth infusion, I actually soak it for quite a while, and the tea broth finally opens up very smoothly. The link shows up in the mouth, in the throat, and reach into the chest of the body, and solid and wonderful. And actually, if it's possible, we would like to also go on to Dongding Mountain and learn tea roasting from Mrs. Su.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, different people have different take on, and I believe Mr. Zhang might roughly learn from this couple for a while, and then he went on to learn from a legendary Dongding farmer who already passed away for maybe a longer period of time. And so I think it is quite good to learn from
from multiple people.
Yeah, from multiple people. I think the farmers look like their roasting is a bit rougher. which is, it's really good. It's really, you know, it's really thick and really solid. And Mr. Zhan just put in a little bit more, even way more intuition and let's say play with the fire a little bit more, since he do only charcoal roasted teas. And so he spent, I think, a long time trying to figure out what fire really is when it comes to tea. And that part is quite a fascinating. I think it's going to be a quite a precious experience to just to stand next to him. I'll be so happy.
But just to see these two different teas, I mean, this same tea roasted two different ways. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Su, with her own style, was really, really capable with tea, tea roasting.
I mean, this tea broth, you just have that connection, and then the throat sensation so good. I love drinking a traditionally done Dongding tea. And for those of you, if you still feel a little bit confused that why I'm so big on Dongding tea, feel free to reach out to me. I can even walk you through on a phone call. And to share with you why I like Dongding tea so much. I normally share that in a shop, and then which is a little bit easier to brew the tea for people and to talk a little bit on the features and stuff. For those of you who are out there, you know, seriously, reach out to me. You know, shoot me an email so we can arrange a time, and then I can walk you through from a phone call. No problem. And then once in a while, we'll do live sessions. So tune in with us on the live session to watch, you know, to just physically watch how other people can possibly brew tea, and that kind of stuff will be also a very helpful point too. So I think I'm going to, you know, not to describe this tea too much, and just to simply put down three places I really like about Dongding. It's the broth is really solid, and it's not perfect. There is, Dongding has a little bit roughness. I don't call Dongding refined. There's a roughness that I really enjoy. And then second is that one of the biggest features about Dongding. So I guess there are four things. I don't even know. Yeah. Well, anyway, another really big one is the throat sensation. It's huge. So for a new drinker to start to link tea this way, like to start to see a tea can pass the throat, pass the mouth area, it will be the traditional Dongding. It's so obvious that you can hardly miss it. And so start to drink this kind of teas to start to connect your body. I call it the mouth area, the throat, and then the chest and the stomach. And then afterwards, of course, there are some other spaces. But just try to link these four. And then Dongding is really the tea that is really obvious on the throat area. I normally call it the tea broth have an angle that will just slide into your throat and make it show a huge presence on the throat. And I found it quite fascinating. And then another thing that I really enjoy about Dongding is the huge salivation. Yeah. Yeah, Dongding is a big tea. I it's a physical big tea, and I really enjoy the feature of this. So, and I'll brew one last infusion today and brew it for a very long time. Just to share it also with you from the Dongding Mr. Su's point of view, no problem. His tea can be brewed for a very long time. Oh, and also he will do something that you might think is really weird. Remember I said that they don't like to waste things. They don't even like to waste their tea. So he said normally when he do tasting with people, maybe, I mean, he can go out to 5, 7, 6 infusions, but he think the tea is not over yet. And so after, you know, like some clients leave, he will use the brew leaves, if they taste three different dongdings and maybe a black tea even. he will mix those brew leaves in a bigger pot, and he will soak them for quite a while, and he will drink it just like that. And actually, it tastes good. He will brew those for us too. He said it's from last night.
It's like he just kind of makes cold brew and then he pours it out in a big cup, and that's like just like their table wine of tea.
Yeah, just and drink it with dinner or whatever. Because he said tea shouldn't be wasted. And I, no matter how weird that you think that is to mix so many teas in one brew, I just seriously respect his idea of not waste any ingredients and materials. And then so we'll drink this last infusion.
So now in honor of Mr. Su.
And Mrs. Su.
And Mrs. Su.
Who actually stayed behind the curtain most of the time. And who is such a strong woman. And such a strong figure. And such a talented farmer. Tea farmer. Who learned tea farming and processing after she married into the family. And she is fantastic. She is also really wise. A hard worker. I have never seen. I mean, I have seen, but she is a hard worker, a hard human, and super talented and super smart. So to her too, to create such a beautiful tea for us. And now since I brewed the second, third infusion so strong, this one mellows out quite a bit, kind of pleasant. And before we leave, since I'm kind of on the kick of stories, maybe we should close the session up with the final last story, which is really funny, from Noah about seat belt.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know. I just put on my seatbelt when we were driving around in his car. So he drives like a, I mean, I don't want to say he drives like a madman because he's very conscious of what he's doing, but he's not afraid to take a corner really fast or like weave between two cars that are going opposite ways. And he drives pretty hard. So I just put on my seatbelt as instinct because I grew up in America. That's what we do. And in Chinese, a seatbelt is called literally safety belt. Mm-hmm. So he looks at me. He says, "Safety belt? You think that's safety? That has nothing to do with safety. Stupid people think that's safe. Stupid people wear a safety belt. You know what? Safety comes from the heart. Safety comes from your intention. And take off your..." And he's like, he just made me take off my seatbelt. He didn't want me to wear my seatbelt. So I didn't. I took it off.
When it really happened at that moment, it was so funny. And you can really see where the idea comes from. And after you hear this story, I hope it just gives you an idea of who he is a little bit more clearly, and please do not judge him. As I say, he grew up on Dongding Mountain with all his life, and Dongding Mountain have roughly about 100 families. I mean, he can drive up to the next mountain plateau pretty fast, and which probably had another 100 families, but still it's a small place. And I'm not saying that he's narrow-minded or anything like that. It just is. His beliefs come in such a way that it's almost like he's sincere. He's not even like, which I found it really cute that when he said that, and I actually found a very direct reason behind that sentence. And I won't call that stupid or that he's just crazy, but I would say, you know, see him as he is, as this past so many years that I am practicing that. But after you hear this, please do put on your seatbelt.
Yeah, don't stop America. Wearing your seatbelt.
Okay. This is not our lesson of today. We just want to share that story somehow. So, yeah.
So much fun. Yeah, I feel like he's looking after me, you know.
Yeah, he did it out of good intention, looking out after us. Whatever he say he does, eating wise, everything, he is looking out for us to eat natural, healthier food to, in a way, tell us not to be blinded by a branch of thoughts that try to control us, etc., etc. So he actually really sincerely do and say those things out of a kind heart, I think. It's just his presentation can be a little bit rough. And I love their teas. I love Mrs. Su. I hope that in the near future that we can spend more time there while she's roasting tea and really try to take on her wisdom on tea roasting and take on her wisdom on life. Because for many years, I wonder how she can deal with the husband. And she's just like that solid big tree to me every single year. And extremely kind and physically strong. So that's why I think I see her as a tree. And I just want to learn from her also. So maybe in the near future that we can do that. And
gotta learn Taiwanese.
Got to learn Taiwanese, correct.
Yeah.
And enjoy your Dongding tea and reach out to me, tea@floatingleaves.com, if you still have no idea why I'm so crazy over Dongding tea. So with that being said, please support our podcast program by listening to it, by subscribing to it, by telling your friends and family to listen to your podcast, to our podcast, sorry.
You can tell them to listen to your podcast, too.
Yeah, also. And then to shop on our website, floatingleaf.com. And we'll see you next Monday. Happy tea drinking. Bye.
Bye.